So what's the theme of these two plays? How are they alike? How are they different?
The theme this year is the change season. It's the third in our cycle. We do a trio of seasons where we do Escape, Truth, and Change, and this is the third. We're doing Ideal Husband and Truth because we kind of felt that both plays dealt with the idea of personal change. What does it actually take to change personally? To, in other words, to look at oneself and really examine yourself from the inside out, and then what does it take to take that first step forward? And we felt like both of these plays kind of dealt with that. Catherine has been living in Proof, has been living completely stagnant, not taking a step forward, especially since her father died, but also in the last 4 years prior to that. And her admission of having written the Proof and the events of the play help her take that next step into beginning and changing her life. In Ideal Husband, the change is a little bit more subtle, but it's, I would say, Gertrude Chiltern has a very set preconceived notion of who her husband is, and you know what does it take for her to change that notion, and to change that person, take somebody down off the pedestal and love them and know them for the man as opposed to the ideal. It's kind of the idea of how he paired the two together.
Okay, what is it like working on classic plays? I mean, over your career, I mean, you've worked on tons of different stuff, you know, Much Ado About Nothing, you know, The Cherry Orchard, Steel Magnolias, and now this. I mean, how does that all work out for you? What do you like about that?
I personally love classic material. It's one of my passions. It's interesting for me, most of my acting career, it kind of became second nature to me. Like, it became more easily to me than modern pieces.
Mm-hmm.
There was something about the sensibility, about the clothes, but also in general, that the way in which I was able to carry myself in those pieces. And I love the language. I love the heightened language of an Oscar Wilde. It's so fast-paced, and the wit is so high. And Shakespeare is poetry. And I loved that part of it as well.
So how do you get the most out of yourself going from, you know, Chekhov to Wilde? I mean, how do you channel energy for both of those performances? They're very different.
They are. Wilde is, I would say, somewhat presentational.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a different style, but they both come from, you know, you start at the base of who these people are. My mother, who's an actress as well, you would start with the 5 W's, who, what, where, why, and when. Like, who are you, where are you, when are you? You approach it the same way. There's just a lot more research that changes those things about who you are and what you're doing. In Chekhov wrote about, you know, it was life. It was life happening up on stage. And so it's very naturalistic. Yeah, he's very naturalistic is not the right word, but it is life to be lived on stage. So there are natural pauses that happen. He's encouraged those. And The Cherry Orchard, though, that production was interesting because it was set about 100 years after.
Mm-hmm.
It was set in 1920 in South Carolina, so it was an American version. But the circumstances of the play were still the same.
Okay, what would you like the audience to get out of these plays? I mean, as far as if someone walked over to you after An Ideal Husband and Proof were over and they said exactly what you'd like to hear, what do you think they'd say and why?
I would like to hear that. I would like to hear that first and foremost, that they were moved and that they enjoyed them, but I think for me, the most important thing with this season is that people come away with the ability, or maybe a better understanding of how to change something in their lives. I believe that theater has that impact, can have that kind of impact to either, you know, do something on a large scale, like change the world and change the worldview, or do something on a small scale, like change a person's mind. And it's those personal small changes that are sometimes a lot more powerful. And so I would like an audience member to, you know, have that kind of an experience in the theater. More specifically with Ideal Husband, I hope that they understand that the moral is not that. There's a speech at the end of Ideal Husband that is given by, who is, by Lord Goring, who is probably the moral center of the piece in an odd way. And he gives a speech about how a man's life is of more value than woman. And modern audiences usually, they cringe at that, because then virtue children have to go and repeat it and say, yes, I've learned this, and this is my lesson. And I hope that audiences of Ideal Husband don't necessarily walk away thinking, wow, I just spent 2 hours in the theater to listen to sexism. Because that's not, Wilde is poking fun at his society, and he doesn't believe that, but his society did. And his whole purpose in all of his plays are all very tongue-in-cheek. He's poking fun at the strictness of an upper-class society that has that adheres to super strict rules. And that's kind of specifically like one of the things I hope.
Okay. What do you think is a typical audience for both of these plays? Who do you think would get the most out of them?
People who love theater. Typical audience for us are theatergoers. But we actually have a mixed audience a lot of times. So we have people who aren't necessarily theatergoers, but who aren't like downtown theater junkies. They're more, you know, bar types who happen to hear about us through, you know, their friends. And we encourage both. We like both because having two different worlds and bringing two different audiences and bringing them together to have them enjoy an experience universally, you know, part of the benefit of doing two plays at once and showing common bonds between them is that you, the audience that is, you know, the beer-drinking, sport-going, you know, crowd might pull away from period piece like Ideal Husband and be much more inclined to enjoy Proof. But if you show them that themes are similar, if not downright the same, they might not necessarily pull away from Ideal Husband, and they'll go, oh, now that's something that I relate to. That's human. I think it's very easy for audiences to do that. In period pieces, they can back off from them. But I think our typical audience tends to be theater goers because they do know the plays, and we do classic material. So the people who are coming to see our stuff are people who know the plays, and they're coming out to see them, to see the play done, as opposed to new theater. But we do,
There's a lot of theater companies and a lot of repertories in the city. What makes Sink or Swim different?
Well, I guess there are a lot of theater companies that do rep. I don't think there are a lot of companies out there that do two shows in rep at the same time for the purposes of a theme. I really do think that makes us very special, that we are theme-oriented, and that doing the two at the same time so that audiences have the ability to see two different productions within the same kind of lens. And I think that, I do think that makes us special. And it makes it's different.